Usually around Thanksgiving, I preach from a passage like Luke chapter 17. We didn't read the rest of the story, but you that remember the story, remember of the 10 lepers that were healed by Christ. Only one came back to say thank you. And when I preach a Thanksgiving message, I usually talk about how he gave thanks to the Lord and how we ought to be thankful to him as well. But this morning, it's not a Thanksgiving message. I want to look at it from a different perspective. 10 lepers. And back in that day, leprosy was a dreaded disease. It separated you from everybody else except other lepers. You had to live apart from society, you had to live apart from your family, because it was a very contagious disease, and so you were separated so as not to spread the disease of leprosy. Back in Jesus' day, it was incurable. There was nothing that an individual could do to get any better, nor there was nothing that any other person could do to help a leper get better. And eventually, this disease killed people. I mean, it was noted for attacking the extremities of the body, and as you got leprosy, you know, pieces of your finger would fall off, pieces of your toes would fall off, pieces of your ear and in your nose. You'd have open sores that would run with pus, and sooner rather than later, as the disease spread through your body, you would die. Leprosy in the Bible represents sin. And I will remind you this morning that all mankind is affected by the disease called sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's some similarities that sin has with leprosy. First of all, sin separates us from God. God is a holy, righteous God and can't tolerate sin. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and by the way, that's basically what sin is, disobeying God. But when they disobeyed God, he expelled them from the Garden of Eden because his presence dwelt there, and his presence could not dwell in the where sin was present. And so he kicked them out of the garden. As Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and bore all our sins, as his Father laid on him, as it tells us in the book of Isaiah, our every sin and transgression. God the Father had to turn his back on his only begotten Son, because at that moment or during that time period, Jesus bore our sin and was a sinner and paid the price for our sin. And as a result, God the Father turned his back on his Son. Bible tells us there will be no sin in heaven. There will be no sin in heaven because there's the holy, righteous God dwells in heaven. And then another way that it's like leprosy is that from a human standpoint, sin is incurable. There's nothing that I can do to cure my sin. There's nothing that I can do to cure your sin. No man is able to help us. No man is able to come up with a remedy for our sin. And in sin, like leprosy, we are dead already. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation from God. And what we deserve as sinners is to be far off from God forever and ever and ever and ever. In fact, we read in verse 12, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And their disease demanded that they do that. They could come in no close contact with any other person that didn't have leprosy. Again, they could be around other lepers, but they were completely separated from everybody that didn't have it. As we read, Jesus entered into their city. The lepers realized that they could not help themselves. They realized that no other man could help them, and they realized that the only hope that they had was God. And so the Bible says, as they saw Jesus, they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the only hope they had as lepers to have that disease cured, the only hope as lepers they had to have any relief from that sickness that they had, was the mercy of God. the mercy of God. Today, as a sinner, you cannot help yourself. Today, as a sinner, no other man can help you. The only hope that you have is God. And my prayer is, before we get done today, that you'll do the same thing that these lepers did. You'll cry out to Jesus and ask him to save you. And so these lepers cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus said unto them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." Now this was kind of strange. Go show yourself unto the priest. Because you see, it was strange because lepers only went to show themselves to the priest when they were cured. I mean, when a miracle happened and their leprosy was cured, the instruction in the Bible was for them to go to the priest and to be examined by the priest. And that the priest would examine them, and if indeed they were cured, they would officially certify them as cured, and then they would have permission to move back in to society. They would have permission to move back in with their families. And when Jesus said to these 10 men that were lepers, go show yourself to the priest, I'm sure they might have wanted to say to themselves, "Well, why should we? Nothing's changed. I mean, you know, where I was missing a finger, I'm still missing a finger. Where I was missing a toe, I'm still missing a toe. The pussy sores that are all over my body are still filled with pus and running with pus. Why should I go show myself to the priest? There's no reason for me to go because nothing's changed." And here's what Jesus was saying. He says, "Go see the priest. Just trust me. I will help you, but you must trust me. I will help you, but you must go and show yourself to the priest." And as we read in verse 14, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went," and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cured. They were well. They were better. They were whole. I believe when Jesus cured a person, he made them whole. I believe if they were missing digits or pieces of their finger, when Jesus got through with them, they had all their fingers. I believe if they were missing a toe or a piece of a toe, when Jesus got through with them, they had all their toes. And if they had pussy sores all over their body, when Jesus got through with them, every sore was healed up. There was not a scar. They were made just like a little baby. They were cured 100% whole. And it was when they were cured as they went. And what the lepers did, paint a picture of what every sinner should do: only trust him. Only trust him. Trust him when he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Only trust him when he said in John 3:16, "That whosoever believeth in him," or in me, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." And isn't it funny how people down through the ages and even today make all sorts of excuses why they don't trust God. Some people say, "Well, I need to clean up my act before I come to Christ." And I'll say to you this morning, if you say that, "Well, I can't come to Jesus until I clean up my act." Let me say to you this morning, you can't clean up your act on your own any more than those lepers could heal their leprous bodies. You can't do it. You have a sin nature. You have committed sin. And the Bible tells us that we are bound by sin. We are a slave to sin. And there's nothing that you can do to make yourself more morally upright, to make you more qualified to come to Jesus Christ. You are qualified to come to Jesus Christ as a sinner. He'll take us just like we are. Praise God. Just like we are. Some say, "Well, I need to feel something before I come to Christ and ask him to save me. I mean, there needs to be some emotion that I feel before I come. Do you think those lepers felt anything when they started going toward the priest? I mean, their bodies were still full of sores. Their fingers and their toes were still missing. They were still in pain. They didn't feel anything that said, okay, I can go see the priest now. Hey, you that have been around for a while know that I'm an emotional person. And when I got saved, my emotions kicked in. But I wasn't emotional before I got saved. That's not a qualification. I got emotional after I realized that I was a sinner headed for hell, now headed for heaven. But there's nothing that you need to feel for you to come to Christ. You just need to trust him and come. Some people say, well, God needs to change me, and then I'll trust him. And the lepers could have said, they could have very easily said, well, Jesus, if you want me to go show myself to the priest, then go ahead and heal me. Go ahead and cure my leprosy, and when I see the change that you've made in my bodies, then I'll do what it says in the law and go show myself to the priest. But that's not faith. The Bible says if we can see it, that we don't need faith. In fact, the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. And Jesus said to those lepers, are you going to trust me? If you trust me, go ahead and get started. Go ahead and start making your way toward the priest. I know your body is still racked with leprosy. I know you still have sores. I know you're still missing pieces of your fingers and your toes. But I'm going to help you. Trust me. Start that journey toward the priest. And as sinners today, don't wait for God to change you to start your step toward the Savior. He'll change you, okay? But after you trust him, not before. And I'm so glad he'll take us just like we are. I'm so glad that we don't have to clean up our act. I'm so glad that there's not some change that has to be wrought in our life before we come to Jesus. I'm so glad that we don't have to feel anything, that we can just trust him, only trust him. And when he says to come, we can come and he will save us. Now, why should we? Why should we trust him? Why should we listen to what he says? Why should we act on what we hear? Let me give you four quick reasons. Number one, we should do it because God the Father commands us to do it. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. And what God the Father says to us is, listen, you better listen to my Son. He paid the price for your sins. And when he invites you to come, he's doing it on my authority. You come. You come. That's the only way that you can get remission of sin is come to my Son. So the Father commands us. Jesus invites us. I read that verse, Matthew 11, 28. Let me read it again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, burdened with sin, and we labor in our feeble attempts, and we labor to try to pay for our sins, and we labor to try to get out of our sins. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. You're heavy burdened with sin, and you labor. But he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. We don't earn it with our labors, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus invites us to come and take of it freely. So the Father commands it. The Son promises us, or invites us. The Bible promises us. In Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad the Bible uses the word whosoever? I am, because that includes every single one of us. Not a person that the word whosoever leaves out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be saved, not maybe will be saved, but shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A promise that God will keep every time. Every time. So the Father commands us. Jesus invites us. The Bible promises us. And others witness to us. A dad, a mom, a grandfather, a grandmother, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister, or friend. They witness to us. They tell us, it worked for me. I called on Christ. I was a sinner. I deserved to go to hell. But I trusted him. I did exactly what he told me to do. I called on him. And he saved me. He saved me. Only trust him. Only trust him. What happens when we trust him? Well, what happened to the lepers? Again, they paint a good picture. First of all, they were cleansed. And as they went, they were cleansed. 1 John 1:7 tells us, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood cleanses us from all sin. All sin. There's not a sin that the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't wash away. There's not a sin that the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cover. There's not a sin that you can commit that's too big or too hard that Jesus didn't pay for on the cross of Calvary. And his blood cleanses us from all sin. And just like those lepers were made whole, we, when we come to Jesus Christ and get that cleansing that only comes from his blood, we also are made whole. You say, preacher, I'm not missing anything. Yes, you are. As a sinner, you are missing a relationship with God. You were created by God for a relationship with him. And without that relationship, there's a piece of you, a big piece, that's missing. A piece of you that cannot be satisfied by anything that the world has to offer. That piece of you that could only be satisfied by relationship with God. And it's only when we come to Jesus Christ and he cleanses us from our sin that we can have that relationship with the Father. So we are cleansed. We have joy. Again, we didn't read it, but there was one of those 10 lepers that came back. And the Bible says he fell on his knees before Jesus and praised him with a loud voice. In verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He realized what had happened. He realized that something great had happened in his life. Again, we probably have a hard time understanding what it was like to be a leper. But they were outcast. They could have no contact with their families or no contact with anybody else. And so they always lived on the outside of town in the leper colony. And the only fellowship they had was with other lepers. But when this man, as well as the other nine, was cured, when they trusted Christ and they started on that journey to see the priest, before they were cured, but when they trusted him and started on that journey and he looked down and saw all his fingers, he looked down and saw all his toes, I'm sure he tore off the rags that they bound their sores in and looked at his skin and said, boy, there's no more sores. No more pus. I'm well. I'm cured. And he ran back. He turned back, the Bible says. And he ran to Jesus and he got down on his face. And he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he glorified God. And when we get saved, we get the joy that comes from knowing that our sins have been forgiven and we belong to the family of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, ye believe. Yet believing. And listen to this verse. This verse saying the same thing. The point of my message this morning, only trust him. You can't, I mean, you got to do that without seeing him. Remember what Jesus told Thomas? Thomas, you believe because you see me. You can put your fingers in the sores in my hands and you can put your hand into my side. But blessed are they that don't see and believe. Blessed are those that have to exercise faith and believe in a Savior that they've never seen. And so Peter writes, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when we get saved, that's the joy that he gives us. It's unspeakable because even though we can use a million words to try to describe it, a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ has no idea what we're talking about until they experience it for themselves. I mean, again, we can use a million or a trillion words to describe the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, but until you receive him and know it for yourself, you have no idea what we're talking about. So we get joy. And then what do we get when we trust him? We get to go home. We get to go home. This leper who has been separated from his family, after he goes sees the priest, and the priest says, yep, you're clean. I certify that you are clean. You are allowed to return. And they had some sacrifices to offer, and there's some things they had to do. But at the end of the process, they got to go home. They got to go back and be a part of their family. They got to move back into their home. In John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. But God loved us. He loved us so much. While we were sinners, that he sent Jesus to die for us. And if you trust him, he'll save you. He'll save you. I'm going to pray and have a word of prayer. And then we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite you, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, to trust him and come and ask him to save you. The song we're going to sing is one we've sang the last few weeks. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Would you trust him this morning? Say, don't wait. Say, well, preacher, I'll trust him if he'll change me. No, you got it backwards. You trust him, then he'll change you. Well, I'll come if I feel something. You know, you got it backwards. You come and then you'll feel something. Just follow the example of these lepers. Go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great promise of salvation that's available to every person. And Father, I pray if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would follow the examples of these 10 men, and they would come, and they would trust you. And Father, I know you'll save them. I know most of us here are Christians this morning, and I pray, Father, that as we've had the Lord's Supper and been reminded in that way of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, and as we've heard the gospel again, as Christians, we would rejoice and we would be drawn closer to you. And Father, we'd be a better servant because we've been reminded of what Jesus did for us. So I pray for everybody here that's not saved. I pray, Father, that they would come and ask Jesus to save them. I pray for the Christians that are here that you would draw us closer to you. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.